Good morning. We are glad you're here this morning. Appreciate you taking the time today to be in Bible class and be here for worship together as God's people. Truly, it's the day the Lord has made, and we can rejoice in it. And no greater way than being together as God's family, no greater way than worshiping our Lord and remembering, of course, the great, great sacrifice that was given for us. Like to take your Bibles this morning, if you would, please turn to John chapter 16. And after you do that, look around. If you see somebody that's normally sitting in a location and they're not there, then make a mental note of that. And as soon as you get an opportunity when you get home this afternoon, give them a call. Let them know that they were missed because they were not a part of the opportunity to be in this assembly this morning. John chapter 16, beginning with verse 5. Jesus says, "But now I go away to him who sent me." Jesus came to this earth to prepare his disciples for his leaving. They would spend time walking with him, learning from him, sharing time with him, getting to know him. But the time would come as he's going to declare that he's going to leave them. And so he clearly points out here, and Ron, you may have to turn this down since I got both, or should I just turn off this one here? There we go. Is that better? All right. Pardon me for that. But he clearly declares to them in verse 5, "I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." Now notice that Jesus uses the word, "Now I go away." Clearly, he wants them to understand that. And he says it again in verse 7, "I go away." And he says, this is for your advantage, to your advantage. And then he says, "If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." And as you study that concept of the Helper, it refers to the one called alongside for support, sometimes called the Comforter. Of course, he's talking about the Holy Spirit who would guide them into all the truth, bring all things to their remembrance. And so Jesus is declaring, "I'm going to go away." Now, look at what happens. Verse 6. "Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." Now, sorrow is a real part of life, isn't it? We sorrow. Even though we can say, "This is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it," we still know that in life there is sorrow. Young boy is looking out the window and he's sorrowing because what he sees is the rain that's coming down. It's windy, it's cloudy, and of course the raindrops are falling in big old drops, and he's watching the birds sitting on the power line. Maybe you've had the chance to do that. Kind of fascinating. I've always wondered how they kept from being electrocuted. You see a squirrel go up a power pole and you get to call Webster Electric. But the birds can sit there in the rain. And he sorrows for those birds because he feels sorry that those birds are sitting there in the rain. But then the sun comes out. And he's been enjoying watching the birds and he thinks, "Wow, the sun is out," but then what do? The birds fly away. And you know what the boy's thinking. "Please don't go away." You see, the little boy is confined to his bedroom because he got in trouble. Has that ever happened to you? I got some of the kids going, Yeah, I stayed in that room a lot. Time out, right? Longer than we wanted. Well, he's got some time out, but now his time out is a little bit sorrowful because the birds have gone away. And of course, that illustrates in a almost humorous way the idea of being sorrowful over something. But here's sorrow that touches the heart. This picture is a very moving picture. In fact, I can't look at it too long without tears coming to my eye, because we had a son-in-law who went overseas 5 times in deployment in the Guard. Well, 4 of them were in the Guard. Once was regular Army. It was hard on his family, my daughter and grandkids. They sorrowed because Dad had to go overseas, and they knew it was going to be for a long time. And for those of you who have experienced that, you understand how someone going away sorrows. There's a fellow, a young man by the name of Brad, who goes by the pen name Brad Snoopy. He copied Charles Schulz's drawings, and he did pretty good at drawing Snoopy. And I don't know if you can see it from your distance. Hopefully it's visible enough, but you see the tears? What he's illustrating is Snoopy's walking away. And look at the bird. You know, kids understand that, don't they? When you see cartoons like that. But parents understand this. The tears and the sorrow of a child who's facing his father going away for a long period of time. Jesus says to his disciples, "I'm going away." That brings sorrow to them. And as you think about departure and going away, I think about what's going to occur in our future. Scripture tells us clearly in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it's appointed unto man once to die. But after this judgment, death brings sorrow because we know that the loved ones have departed. And it's hard to come to grips sometimes with losing someone we love dearly, like a mother, a brother, father, sister, even some other family member. It's hard because we know they're going from this life. And that brings sorrow all its own. But there's another dramatic impact that occurs when we consider what we read in Hebrews 9:27, because he says, after this, the judgment. Now there in the judgment is going to be a departure. And if you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 25. Because we read about Jesus and how that He is going to provide for mankind a separation. For some, it's a separation that they look forward to. But for others, it will not be, because it's a separation between the sheep and the goats. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, with all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. And all nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another. Last week in our studies on Sunday morning, we looked at the opportunity that those who are on the right hand are going to have. Because they're going to meet the Lord in the air, and they're going first class. And they're going to be with the Lord forever. But look at those who are on the left. There's going to be the separation. Separate them one from another as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right, the goats on his left. And then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Now that is a permanent departure. The child sheds tears because the birds fly away. The child sheds tears because father goes off to war. But the father is hoping to return. And the child is comforted with those words that he will return. But in this case, there is no return. And as a gospel preacher and as someone who cares about lost souls like you, what do you want to say to folks who are on the wrong hand? Please don't go away. That's not the place you want to go to. Why? Verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." That's not words of joy, is it? That's not even words that we even like to think about, but it's words that we do need to think about when it comes to those we know and even ourselves, if we're not on the right hand. Because if we're in the wrong place, it's going to be for an eternity, everlasting punishment. And here's the problem. And I know most of you sitting here this morning recognize this. There's a gulf that's fixed between man and God. A child is born, he grows, and he reaches the age of accountability. What happens? Well, he wakes up, we hope, and finds himself separated from God. Why? Because of sin. And there is a great gulf fixed because of sin and the separation it brings. And one day, that gulf is going to be a permanent gulf, where there's no hope of ever crossing because of the separation. And that's the eternal, everlasting punishment. And so there's an answer for that. And of course, what is it? It's the truth of God's Word. Because the only way that you and I can deal with the problem of separation from God, the problem of sin, is we have to be obedient to the truth. And when Jesus deals with the people here, as we read in Matthew, there is distinctive differences between those on the left and those on the right. What separates them? It's what they do. You see, we have an obligation to do what God wants us to do. Unfortunately, some people choose to walk away or say to the truth, go away. When you look at Felix of Acts 24 and verse 24, an interesting study, because Felix and his wife Drusilla were Jewish, who was Jewish, sent for Paul. This is talking about the Apostle Paul, of course. And they sent for him and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. They hear the truth. And Scripture tells us in verse 25 that Paul reasons and speaks to them in regard to righteousness, self-control, and notice, and the judgment to come. I can almost hear Paul as he speaks about what Jesus has said. How that there will be an eternal separation of the sheep and the goats. I can hear Paul warning Felix about this judgment to come and the reality of it. And how do I know that? Well, Felix was afraid. Well, anybody that's facing everlasting punishment because they're not fit to meet God should be afraid, shouldn't they? They need to be scared and fearful of the Almighty God who has the power to not only bless those on the right from those on the left. You see, God's in control. And He warns us that there will be a time when man will reckon with God. But what does Felix do? He uses two of the words we're looking at this morning. He says, go away. Now, I did not highlight the words for you to see for now. Even though a lot of folks do that when it comes to facing the truth. They look at the truth, they see a need to make some changes in their life, and they say, go away for now. But Terry, that don't work, does it? We understand that clearly. Because some people never get the now. We don't know if Felix ever had much of the now. He says, go away. He's wanting Paul to leave. And then he says, when I have convenient time for you, I will call you. Of course, he keeps Paul in prison. How much he heard more from Paul, we don't know. We don't know if he ever took the opportunity again. But unfortunately, too many people make the same decision. They go away from the truth. And the plea that we have is, please, 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 don't go away. Don't go away from the truth. Because the truth is the only answer. It's the only hope. As James says in James 1, verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Now, I give that this morning. How many of you also looked in the mirror this morning? Anybody besides me? Jan shaking her head. Ron smiling. We know what we're talking about, don't we, Ron? We look in the mirror and we want to go away and go, I didn't have this many gray hairs last week. You know what it's like to try to pick a hair off your forehead and only find out it's a wrinkle? What happens? We sometimes want to go away. But when it comes to looking into the truth of God's Word, we don't want to go away. And I say, please don't go away. Why not? Because the Word has the answer. The truth has the answer. He goes on, for if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away. And here's the problem. And immediately forgets what kind of man he was. I have seen people, after preaching of a sermon, you can tell they're thinking. And I hope that they're thinking about their soul's responsibility when faced with the truth. But they don't make the right decision. They go away after beholding the truth. And then Monday, you see them going about their everyday life as if they never heard it. Therein lies the problem. Please, please, please don't go away from the truth. Because it's what gives us hope of being in the right place when our Lord comes. Verse 25. James goes on, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You see, our God wants to bless us. He wants to give us a rich life, an abundant life in Christ. But the only answer is to not go away. Our ladies, sometimes gentlemen, fix a beautiful meal here for a fellowship. Lunch is coming up soon, isn't it, in October? We're going to get a chance to eat some wonderful food. When I take those bites, I'm thinking fat, 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 but this sure is good. And it's beautiful to think about all the work that goes into such a beautiful meal so we can sit down and enjoy the time and fellowship together and enjoy the great food. But what do some people do? They go away. What are they missing when they go away? They're missing the great blessing of enjoying the time and the food together. You think about it. Please, please don't go away. In John 16, going back there, if you would please, Jesus speaks in verse 16. It says, a little while you will not see me, as he speaks to the disciples. And he says, again, a little while you will see me, because I go to the Father. Now this caused some confusion among the disciples. Verse 17, then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to me, or says to us, excuse me? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father. Verse 18, they said therefore, what is that he says? You see, they're struggling, trying to figure this out. How can he be going away and coming back? A little while, you do not know what he is saying. In verse 19, now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him. And he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, you will see me. If they wanted to know, Jesus knew they were having a struggle trying to figure out what Jesus is saying when he talks about going away. Then verse 20, Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. For a while, the world thought they had a victory when they put Jesus on that cross. Those that were Jesus' direct enemies during that day and time who rejoiced that he was on that cross would soon find out different, wouldn't they? But for a while they would rejoice while the disciples lament. And they will be sorrowful. And I can only think how sorrowful that must have been for them to know what was happening to Jesus. Think about the hearts of the women who were there and saw the suffering Christ. hanging on that cross. Never been difficult. Because at this point in time, it seems that the Savior is going away. But Jesus goes on, verse 20. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, but you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. It was hard for the disciples to grasp that because they didn't at this point fully understand what would happen when Jesus came off that cross and was resurrected, but they would find out, wouldn't they? And so soon they would know the joy and they would rejoice because the Savior of the world has shed His blood for remission of sins. And then they would go throughout the world preaching the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They would present the truth so folks would have opportunity to be prepared to meet God. And so their sorrow would be turned to joy. Remember the little boy looking out the window? He's now a little bit sorrowful, disheartened because the birds have flown away. But if we've ever experienced this ourselves, we know that those lines are attractive to the birds. You see, the birds don't pay utility bills, do they? They can sit here on these power lines as long as they want to, and they don't pay a dime. In fact, they get to rest. Little boy's sorrow turns to joy because once again, he can watch the birds. How can we turn sorrow into joy? Simply by being obedient to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning, I don't know your condition spiritually. You do. But it may be that you're here this morning, you've been thinking about surrendering your life completely over to Jesus. It may be this morning that you've been thinking about, this is the day I need to be baptized into Christ for remission of my sins. Then I want to encourage you, turn sorrow into joy. Make this a day to rejoice in your life because you have chosen the right choice to be obedient to the gospel. And we're going to stand in just a moment. We're going to give you opportunities to come forward and make it known your desire to be right with God. And when we give you that opportunity, you're going to be making choice. But we're going to sing and we're going to beg with you and do all that we can to encourage you to do the right thing because, you see, we don't want you to go away. And it may be you have someone sitting next to you this morning who doesn't want you to go away from the truth. They want you to be obedient to the gospel because they love you and they care about you. And they understand if you don't obey the gospel, there's no hope. Only facing a departure that will be an everlasting departure. So this morning, Carrie's going to lead us in the invitation song if we can assist you in any way. The plan's simple. If you need to know more about it, we'll be glad to sit down and study with you and help you. But if you know what you need to do this morning, then why not make the right choice? Don't depart unprepared. If you need to come, do it now as we stand and sing.